Welcome everybody to another episode of the TBMP. I am your host of the day, Big Mo. I'm joined by the two best hosts, in my opinion, Big Rub.
What's up, y'all? Welcome.
And my fellow host, Young Ryan.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show.
We got a very special episode for you guys today. A little something spooky, a little something scary. I know I have a favorite horror movie for myself, but I always wondered if I had my own iteration or my own version of it, how would I spin it off? You know what I mean? So this episode, we're going to go ahead and do a little different, you know what I mean, iteration. But before we get into that, we're going to go ahead and hit you guys with the news. You want to go first, Big Bro?
Yeah. So, if y'all didn't know, there was an episode, a new show that actually they just came out, anime. It kind of does almost, I don't know if they're making fun of the Power Rangers or not, but I kind of like it. It's called Go-Go Loser Ranger. And pretty much the premise is you got these kind of alien beings that came. Well, I don't want to give it too much away, but.
You can get a premise. Go for it.
Yeah,
the premise is just like they came down. And they kind of gave the world a premise, an illusion that they came to kind of save the world. And so they have this like arena kind of like thing where they fight these monsters and, you know, they're serious, you know, pretty much like Power Rangers. But in reality, it's, you know, they hire people to kind of be the goons and you kind of move up and stuff. And actually all the monsters that were on this rock that came down have all been defeated at this point already. Because obviously this show, when this takes place, it's been a while since they came down already. It's been about, I don't know, about a couple years. So at this point, the protagonist in here, he's kind of, you know what? He's like, I'm kind of done not being there kind of bit. So he kind of stands up to them a little bit and then some things happen. I don't want to go too deep. But that's where it gets interesting because what ends up happening is that since there's no more bosses, now the goons have to kind of create monsters. And the monsters they create have to fight the Rangers to kind of entertain the people. So it's kind of like they're using people to kind of feed these Rangers to kind of entertain people. And they're using that as an illusion. But in the reality, we don't know who they are yet. We're still figuring that out this episode. So that's kind of the premise of it. So it's already interesting, kind of, because I kind of like that. Because, like, what if Power Rangers were the bad guy? Have you ever thought about that, Ryan?
That's interesting. That I didn't really get that from what I saw. I got a totally different idea what it was about than what you interpreted it as.
Yeah.
You're saying the Power Rangers are alien?
Yeah, because they came down in this kind of castle-like ship. They all came together. They showed in the beginning. But obviously, they didn't explain it well.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So they came from Mother World. But they've been using people to kind of funnel their whatever it is they're trying to do here. I don't know if they're just trying to like entertain people or they have a bigger plan in place. But at some point, one of these goons kind of got fed up and he's like, you know what? I'm tired of being y'all's bitches.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he can shapeshift and he shapeshifted into a person everybody around him is like, oh, you should join the Rangers. And he's like, fuck the Rangers.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, it's a good concept, man. I would have never thought to come up with the idea. But
have you ever thought about that? Like, what if
they were evil? They have the Psycho Rangers, so it's not like something that hasn't been done. Yeah.
Psycho Rangers. Even like Lord Zedd, he looks like a Ranger, just looking like an evil Ranger, you know?
But they have Psycho Rangers. They had a whole saga with them. So we see evil Rangers before. That's nothing new. Mm-hmm. But just a show that's kind of parodying Power Rangers is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something different. The first episode, I don't know. I mean, it was just a pilot, so I don't know how I feel.
Like I said,
I didn't hate it. So. Right. I'll watch it, see where it goes, see if it continues to grow from there. But from what I saw so far,
They don't really got too much goofy stuff, though, stuff that you don't like. So
yeah, that's definitely true. I did notice that.
So that's what I said. When I recommend it to you, I also make sure there's no goofy stuff because I know you told me.
Well, obviously, this one's a Power Rangers spinoff. I was already going to watch it, bro.
Right.
whether you said anything or not, I was already going to at least watch the pilot. So, yeah.
And to kind of segue off that, the other bit of news that I have is Kaiju number 8 is coming out this Saturday. Now, we're recording this before Saturday. People are going to hear it Tuesday, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it's coming out, and I'm excited to see it because this is obviously the one that's kind of the reiteration of the Kaijus and this kind of anime. One of these dudes kind of is able to like become a Kaiju somehow. Like, I don't know. That's kind of what they're going towards, supposedly, from the teasers that I've seen. So I'm excited to kind of see what they do with this. And at the same time, it's like, would this later maybe translate to like maybe in the box office, maybe in the big movies? I don't know. It'd be kind of cool.
I'm excited for it just because, you know, seeing what they did with the King Kong versus, you know, the CGI, I'm excited to see them do it in animation. I think they could do a lot more stuff.
Yeah, they can get away with stuff. Okay. Yeah, no, this was already on my list. I remember mentioning it with the stuff we're looking forward to this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know I'm watching that. Plus, it's Kaiju. I'm all about the Kaiju action. So.
Yep.
I can't picture fucking Kaiju having like goofy stuff. I mean, granted, you know, they might, but
Don't mean they won't do it. They'll find a way.
And my last bit of news, I just want to say this is a personal L for me. This is rare, very rare in the show.
Little donkey of the day.
For me. I say Kaiju number. I said Ninja Kamui ended, but it did not. It's like 12 episodes. The ninth one came out last week. That one's coming out.
You know what? Let's all take a L. With Ruby, because I went for right letting you go down for that. Yeah, we didn't correct you. Normally, I correct you if I knew.
We all agreed with you. So
we all thought the way it ended. That's why we were like, this is a weird ending.
Yeah,
but we're like, okay, I guess.
But to be fair, there are animes that have ended short, like 8. Yeah. They do have them. So I thought this was one of those.
We all did. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So
and it did kind of feel like a last episode for some reason.
Yeah.
But that's why we were like, because like I said, even though we were like, it didn't end like I would expect it to, but I still liked it better than, you know, the Solo level.
Right.
But we'll all take it. I'll take that L with you, bro. You can't. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna let you fall by yourself. You know what I mean?
Damn. Yeah.
We are a show.
This is the first platform to say, oh, let it be recorded today.
I'm pretty sure we had an L on here already, bro. I just can't remember. Somebody had to change something. They said, oh, you know what? I remember what it was, and it was your ass. For the Avatar. Remember that?
Listen, we're not going to go there, but we're going to keep it pushing. We're going to keep it pushing, too. Go ahead,
Ryan. This wasn't the first L, sir.
Go ahead, brother.
This one we're going to take with you. You were not alone.
Thank you, brother.
All right, so. So, I got two pieces of news. Coincidentally, they're both from Paramount Studios. So I remember last week, both of my news were from Disney Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
CinemaCon was this week. It was a lot of things floating around.
Yep.
So we'll be here all day if we will report on everything from CinemaCon. Yep. So if you guys are curious, you know, get on the Googles and see what's going on. There's a lot of info. Actually, I highly recommend you guys do that. But for the sake of the show, I just picked like two. Now, one is it was already like alluded to that this was going to happen, but it just was confirmed this week and that Transformer G.I. Joe crossover is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, they already did it in the main credit scene for Transformers Rise of the Beast.
We actually mentioned it too in one of our podcasts.
Yeah, so it's just a confirmation of that. So but they didn't say, because that last G.I. Joe movie didn't do that good. So I don't know if they're going to reboot G.I. Joe first and then do this, or are they just gonna go straight to G.I. Joe, like boom, whatever, gonna rock it. I don't know what they're playing. So they didn't say anything. So as far as I'm going off of right now, they're just gonna go straight to the crossover. But I mean,
are you a fan of the cast that they have, or the old cast, or would you be more interested in a reboot?
I would reboot it, but if they ride with this
Rampage Jackson,
fair enough.
But it's cool. If they can get a good cast,
If they can get a good cast,
they're already doing it with Fantastic Four. So
yeah. And then, I mean, even in a G1 Transformers, the robots have like a human companion.
You're right.
True.
So their human companion going to be a freaking G.I. Joe. So that'd be dope. Now, if you think about it that way, it's going to be some potential for good banter between, like, maybe they don't get along with their partner. Mm-hmm. Others get along really good. It's potential for some good chemistry, man, if they do it right. That's what I'm seeing anyway. Because as you know, I don't know if you guys seen Rise of the Beast, mm-hmm. but Noah and Mirage, like, they already got their chemistry going. Mm-hmm. So they can kind of like have them, like, maybe they can show them, like, hey, we can work together. I don't know. I just hope they do that.
Possibilities are kind of endless.
Yeah, I hope they do that camaraderie thing. That'd be dope. Right. So, but, you know, it potentially can be corny. Because, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, sure that.
But, you know, it's two things from my childhood. So obviously I'm a representative for that one. Right. And then the other bit of news from Paramount is that an R-rated adaptation of The Last Ronin is on the way.
Come on.
Did you hear about the game too that's in development?
That was in development for a while. But now they mentioned a movie now. So yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that storyline.
A little bit. But sad. It's a sad one, but it's crazy. Definitely like to see that.
It's like a post apocalyptic New York.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I mean, three of the four guys have died. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it, but I think they don't tell you who's the turtle, because he has all their weapons, but they don't tell you who it is.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't know who it is.
You know who it is, don't say it.
I don't want to like ruin it for people that don't, especially because I don't know either. So I'd rather not know.
Right.
If you know, that's fine. Yeah. But we're going to save y'all and myself from that spoiler because,
They are, but I mean,
more so for me to actually, if you, guys, comic. Is, if you guys want, I'm down to read that one for the show.
That would be
so y'all stay tuned. We might actually review that because that way, I mean, the movie's already coming out, it'd be good to do anyway. But yeah, so I mean, look forward to that review and then look forward to this movie. They didn't mention a date,
right?
But I mean, near future, I'm assuming next year,
maybe,
maybe first fall or summer of next year.
Something to look forward to.
What you got, Mo? Sure.
So for me, it's funny. It's from Paramount as well. I only got one bit of news for y'all this week. But Scary Movie 6 is officially happening. And as I just found out earlier today, it's actually going to be a reboot. So I didn't know that, but I'm actually kind of excited for that because I think Scary Movie, the first one was my favorite one. You know what I mean? Carmen Electra.
Yeah, easily the first one was the best.
But,
a lot.
I just thought they had like the, and it's funny because, you know, my daughter, I showed her that movie and she loved it too. So she's seen the Scream movies. So to see.
Bro, his daughter is like
your daughter is a scary movie, but with
your horror head, bro.
The skeet scene?
Fast forward is some scenes, bro.
Yo!
Obviously the one in the bed scene. Fast forward.
You don't need to see that one. You don't need to see that one. I mean, potentially it can be, because I mean, think about how many scary movies have been out since the last parody,
right?
But they can parody, like, the possibilities are like, so it's so many movies that they can use now. So I mean, we'll see what they do. I'm just, at the same time though, the reboots, man, come on, man.
And actually I mean, we posted about this, if y'all don't follow us on social media, but we did post about this that Margot Robbie is gonna direct that Monopoly movie. Did we need it?
We about to get Life. We about to get damn Clue.
How do you do that? How does
Hungry Hippos? We about to get Uno.
Barbie for that. You know what I mean?
The Uno movie is coming out, y'all. Stay tuned.
We're gonna get Goldfish the card game movie.
Dominoes the movie.
Ruben's gonna be excited when they come out with 13. The movie.
I don't know, man. Some of these ideas, man.
For real? This what y'all, Hollywood, this what y'all doing?
Yeah, I tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm in like a simulation, bro.
Man.
Like, this can't be real life.
That's why I keep saying, it almost seems like we can even ourselves come up with a damn movie, bro. It almost seems like there's no more original ideas anymore, bro. It's just what you got. I like it.
It's funny you mention that, because we're probably going to spin our ideas on this episode.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is our news, so go ahead, Mo.
Yes, sir. So, do you want to start that off, Rob, or you want me to go first?
Actually, I'm down. So, my movie, obviously, was Silent Hill, one of my favorite movies, horror movies of all time. And actually, I said this obviously a couple times on the episode, I think. And I like it so much only because it's almost like a redemption story. And I always remember, I always forgot, like, I watched it again recently. I just remember how, it was like a weird twist because obviously the villain of this episode was Alessa's aunt, who was the one that kind of sacrificed her, Alessa. So Alessa, I'm just going to give a little back, a little bit of backstory, but Alessa was in the beginning of the movie, we kind of that show her, yes, she's the one that kind of gains these powers. And Alessa's aunt is afraid of her and she kind of tries to kind of kill her in a way. But she's supposedly Christian, whatever. So that's kind of like that twist of like, but she's not that like really kind of like gospel kind of person, kind of evil in a way. So I kind of like how they had that twist. And so the origin of this movie, what I wanted was kind of like the main character, or not the main character, but kind of the being who we're going to talk about is Dark Alessa, which, because what happens is, you know, they end up kind of torturing her. She gets burnt. And in the process of healing, she manifests this kind of being, which she already had in her. And she's the one that creates this kind of world called the Other World. And I don't want to get too much into her powers and everything later on. But I'll give you all a quick rundown of the story. And it's just, you know, the main characters of this movie is Rose and her daughter Sharon. You know, Sharon starts having these kind of like visions of like hell and stuff. So Rose decides to take her to Silent Hill. To get there, you know, she kind of like loses it because they see kind of like a little ghost. She ends up being in the other world. They didn't really explain how she kind of really got there, but she ends up being there somehow. And the whole time in the movie, Rose is trying to find her daughter. She ends up finding her eventually, but they end up landing in a church. And at this church, that's where her aunt is in the other world. And, you know, things happen. The Dark Alessa possesses Rose. She's able to get in the church. Kills everybody. Pretty much the end of the movie, she finds her daughter and they leave. But what I hate is that she kind of crosses the road back and somehow she was able to cross back. So that tells me, like, so bitch, she could have crossed back this whole time. Like, I don't know. Like, that is kind of like a weird thing that kind of like, kind of, it's a little confusing to me. But that's kind of where they left it at. So now my prequel, or what I would want to see the origin, and who would I want? So I was thinking that I would want maybe Bella Ramsey play kind of Sharon Da Silva, as far as the girl actor.
Okay.
That's what I kind of see. That'd be cool if they had like a, yeah. And then maybe Stephanie Beatriz. If y'all don't know, she played Brooklyn Nine-Nine for a couple movies.
Yeah, I know.
Because y'all got to have the Latino in there. I like that Latino flat, little fire, you know what I mean? Yeah. So if I could, if Hollywood, y'all listening, listen, I'm literally giving y'all the script right now, Hollywood. If y'all listening, I'm giving you Stephanie Beatriz, give her the lead role. Her daughter is Bella Ramsey. And I think that, you know what I was thinking, Ryan? Isn't this kind of like reminiscent of like Stranger Things? Because, you know, the other world,
the upside down,
it's kind of like upside down world. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute. Did this guy just kind of take, you know?
I'm sure they got a little inspiration. Yeah,
you know, a little inspiration.
Yeah.
But honestly, I would want to see that. I would want to see how Alessa was formed. Like, who is she actually? Like, obviously, the powers that Alessa got were witch-like powers, but how did she get them? So I would want to know, maybe, like, was she born with them? How she got them? Or maybe in this other world, or maybe this other world already existed, and there was already, like, a source of power in there. There's some evil world, some evil that's already in there. Kind of like in Stranger Things. I was thinking about Stranger Things, too. How they have other beings in there that are, like, more powerful. So, maybe what if this, the same thing is the other world? Because it's, like, the whole planet, right? So, and then I was just thinking, like, I don't know if you know, Ryan, but did Dark Alessa create the pyramid, or did he already exist? Like, is that?
I think that's just part of
that's part of the world, right?
Because I'm thinking, like, they're trying to make it sound like she created everything, ain't they? Like, they're trying to.
Yeah. kind of
that's one of her nightmares. It's like one of her nightmare construct.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be too far fetched to believe that she's the one that made everything in it. Yeah,
I got you. And then I was thinking, like, I don't know if like Dark Alessa or wherever she came from, I don't know if that was her plan all along to kind of like maybe later possess somebody to later, like, because I'm assuming because she couldn't go out of her little area later. And I'm spoiling a lot for people.
Yeah, like a radius. Yeah.
Yeah, she had a radius, but she wasn't able to leave until she kind of possessed her daughter. And now, because later on the show, when she went home, she was able to cross the bridge. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, where's it leading up?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, so maybe in the origin, they show how she already had that plan down. And maybe they show her plans, you know, and then we see it in the second movie play out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we talked about this before we're off on the show, but Ryan told me that they have Revelations, which is kind of like it's another reiteration of Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's no bueno. And then they come up with a game that's also mid at best, I guess.
What, the Silent Hill games?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're pretty consistent. I mean, some are.
As far as the story, like, it's different from the.
The story changes, yeah.
So if y'all listening, this is like the Silent Hill with, you know, not the movie or Revelation or the, not the game. Because even too, when I was doing research, I was like, they had Heather. I'm like, who the fuck's Heather? Like, she's the one in Revelation. I'm like, but like I said, in the end, I would kind of want to see like how they show that, like how the powers manifested, what happened, how they got into Alessa somehow. I don't know. But
that'd be dope. And then, like I said, if we're going off our theory, then maybe some trauma, and then she's having nightmares, and then she's like, I'm having these nightmares, and they're manifesting into these creatures. Like, for example, in the game, the nurses are really popular in the game.
Right.
Those nurses, but you can't, like, if you, like, I can't remember. It's been a while. I don't know if you shine a light on them and they're move, and then you in the dark, they don't. What, right. Which one is it? Yes. Is it light on?
No, off, they don't move. On, they move.
So we can maybe like say something like she has like trauma at the doctor or something, and she manifested the nurses, right? And then we can kind of create why she created Pyramid Head. Like maybe some giant dude she saw or something.
Yeah.
And maybe he was a janitor. He had he was carrying like a triangle shaped tray. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm just spinning ideas out.
Right.
But
get off the dome.
That makes perfect sense. Obviously,
But right. From what Ruben's saying, it would be good to know how she able to do that.
How it all manifested.
Right.
And so then, Hollywood, if you're already doing prequels and boop bop and everything, you might as well do one with this one.
Yeah, since you want to do
remakes. I'll give you one for free. There you go.
Yeah.
This ain't even a remake. This is an original idea just off of, you know, an IP already that's already existing. But it's an original idea. So I'm just saying. And like I said, if we can do this, why are you guys making all these prequels and like just making potential Monopoly movies? Like, come on, bro. Really?
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to see a movie about Monopoly?
Right. Ask me how long it took me to think about this.
What, like an hour maybe?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Just stop being lazy, yo. It's like I'm saying, it's like in my head, I'm thinking they're in some kind of like time crunch. And they're like, oh, we don't know. We're having a writer's block, but they need something. So we got to give them something. So they're like, well, what needs to be told or what needs to be retold? And then they're like, there wasn't a Monopoly movie. And there you go. That's what I feel like was happening, man. It's just like, there's no creative. I don't know. It's weird. Like, what are you guys doing back there? Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. All right. So something I was interested in seeing was the origins of the Hellraiser series. But there's so many stories, like I said, doing the research. It's like graphic novels, and obviously this is based off a book by Clive Barker. So there's that, and then the movies, and then there's so much lore, man, here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then I found out in my research that they were doing a origin movie. It was coincidentally titled Hellraiser Origins, but it was shelved. Right. So, like, obviously, I was the only one thinking about this. Like, it needs to be done. From what I can gather from the video I saw on YouTube and it makes sense, the budget for this movie would have been huge. Now, potentially, if this didn't sell, then it'd have been a huge L.
Because
this would have took place in that dimension. where, you know, these Cenobites exist. So mm-hmm. obviously you got to like create their world. You got to have, so all Cenobites are all like creatures. So you got to have special effects up the ass. I can see this right. being expensive.
Yeah.
Soul Shelf. I don't know if, you know, I know Mo, you know, pretty much. And then Ruben, I don't know how much you know about Hellraiser. I got a little summary that I read. I can just say it, even if it's some people that don't know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much like I said, it was created by Clive Barker. Mm-hmm. And it revolves around the discovery of a mysterious, like, it's like this box called the Le Marchard box. Mm-hmm. I could be saying it wrong. Excuse me if I am.
Yeah,
it's like, it's pretty much like it's a box, and it's like it can open portals.
Mm-hmm.
It can open gateways to they call it the labyrinth. Mm-hmm. It's different names for it. They call it hell. It's not really hell. So, you know, it's when you go there, it's feel like you in hell. You know what I mean? Right. So they call it hell.
I seen an alliteration that said that it's a place different than heaven and hell, that it's like a place where after God goes, after God leaves and the devil leaves, that's where they reside.
Yeah. It's just a void. Yeah. Their little pocket of existence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's other beings that live there as well. But the main beings that we're talking about in Hellraiser are the Cenobites. And these are like outer worldly creatures, obviously. Their main one, the most popular one everybody knows about, is Pinhead. Everybody, you don't even got to be a horror head. You see Pinhead, either you've seen the look or you know who it is. One or the other. It's pretty much universal in that aspect. And then what they do is they specialize in like pleasure and pain, like sadomasochism, weird, nasty,
sadistic.
Yeah, like they love it, man. They just that's what they live off of, bro. Just torturing people. So, there, like I say, it's a lot of different lore, but I figure, since the Hellraiser Origins never took off, so we didn't, and that was gonna be a different story than mine. So I have an actual original idea.
Right.
So that was cool to know too. So my idea for this one, I got like, man,
damn,
pretty nice, bro. I'm actually impressed. Now I'm reading my writing, so I might, you know, it might sound like I'm reading because I am, but I do my best to, you know, try to narrate it with some energy, if you will.
Hey,
you know. So in 1776 lived a man named Philip Lemarchand. Now this man had a day job as a toy maker, right? But at night, this is when he gets his materials to make his toys. Now, his toys are made out of, guess.
Ants.
No. His toys are made out of human fat and bones.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
His toys matter. So over the years, he's making toys. He's selling these human toys to people.
Mm.
And he's killing people at night. So, you know. After a while, he's doing this for years. He get bored, right? He's like, man, I'm not getting the pleasure from this anymore. I need to seek a higher level of, you know, pleasure from this.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, he ends up stumbling across an occult.
Mm-hmm.
Now this occult, they worship these beings from another dimension, which specialize in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's like, okay, well. You know, he's with this occult, and then he ends up coming across an incantation.
Yeah.
Across this incantation he uses to make his first toy box, his very first construct, like this box, right?
Dang.
So I'm telling you, bro, like I said.
Hollywood, y'all listening or not, bro?
It's not hard. It's not hard, man. Like, I don't understand. So he makes this box right now. Here's a twist on this one, and this is all the lore I read. I just crumbled it into my story. Basically, this is not that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, like, it's not hard.
Oh my god!
So like, that's why I'm just confused why you can't come up with original ideas. So he made the first box out of a virgin woman. Found a virgin woman. Obviously, he made it out of her blood, her fat, her bones, and now he made it out of her. And then once the box is complete, he was able to summon a demon princess from the labyrinth. Her name is Angelique.
Mm.
So he's able to summon Angelique. Mm-hmm. And along with Angelique comes her like first in command. His name is Baron.
Okay.
Now Angelique She instructs Baron, you know, hey, he made this box. We can have this dude on our side, right? Like, we need him to help us cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, I'm going to go, you know, don't do me. You stay here. You assist him. And you know, whatever he needs, he needs to make some more of these boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, Lamarchand and Baron is making mad boxes. Just a lot of these hell boxes or you know, labyrinth boxes. So he ended up making his most, like, strongest box. He named it after himself because, obviously, he's vain as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So he names it the Lamarchand box. And now this one, that this is, like, the one that can configure to, like, the all six different configurations to open different portals, basically.
Okay.
So eventually, like, this dude just get obsessed, and now, like, the world is just, like, in turmoil, bro. It's just Cenobites everywhere, bro. Like, it's just... It got out of control, right? So at one point, you know, the Cenobites end up, his whole family gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at that point, like, man, like, what did I do? Obviously, he had a growing conscience, right? He's like, man, why did I do this? This probably ain't the right thing to do. So he has a change of heart. He ends up seeking, sees that, like, well, if I can find an occult that worships the Cenobites, then there has to be a flip side to that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he ends up finding these beings called the Harrowers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are the opposite. They're like a group that are dedicated to defeating the Cenobites.
That's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Bro, this, like I said, I'm not making this up. This is literally like, I just pulled all this information, bro. Like, and I created this little story. So, let's see, where are my notes here? So, okay. So, once he meets the Harrowers, they tell him that if you make the Leviathan configuration,
mm-hmm.
you're able to summon the Leviathan. The Leviathan exists in this world. The Leviathan is like
he's like the creator.
Okay, so there's the creator, there's someone over the Leviathan, but the mm-hmm. Leviathan is like the yin and yang. He's like,
yeah.
If it's too much good, something's wrong. If it's too much bad, something's wrong.
Damn. Like
he's that guy. He's a middleman, the middle being. So yeah, he makes the Leviathan configuration. He's able to get an audience with Leviathan. So wouldn't that be dope to see? However, they just create this huge, like, bro, telling you, yeah, man. Yeah. I'm seeing this all in my head, bro. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell him, hey, look, you know, from my mistake, this is what happened in the earth. He's like, okay, well, you're done.
Right.
For what you did, you will pay for that. But we're not going to let everybody else suffer. So now, obviously, in this labyrinth, they are good beings. Like, well, not good, but they're like, the opposite of the Cenobite. So he tells them, here, I'm going to give you some of these. You need to get that box back from them and banish them back. The original Lamarchand box, the one that he made, his ultimate creation. So eventually, you know, he goes back with these angel beings. They go back, they fight. He finds up a way to get the box back. He reconfigures it to banish them back. And obviously he has to go back too, because he's forfeited his body. Like he's done, but you know, and that's how it ends. He just, you know, he ended up doing it. He saves the planet. He gets banished, and you know, as far as I got. But I mean, like, come on, bro, like,
yeah, nah, that sounds pretty cool.
That's not dope.
That alone is already like banger, bro.
Yeah, like it's not even hard. Like
key words right here are that you didn't even make this up on your own. This is like you're already using information that has been provided. Even myself, I didn't use anything new. I'm just saying, like, it's already in there. Why are y'all not using it? Like,
yeah. Huh? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's easy. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, would you? I mean, to tell you how it's not that hard, go ahead, Mo. I mean,
yeah. So for me, I got Freddy Krueger and the original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Like, the Nightmare on Elm Street. First time I saw this movie, fucking gave me nightmare.
Damn. Hell yeah, same.
Lee Harvey Oswald, played by Robert Englund.
Mm-hmm.
Man, phenomenal actor. I seen one of his interviews that he did where he just like transforms, you know, like he just flips the switch and he wasn't him. He was Lee Harvey.
He cool. Like you see it, like he's just, I mean, he's in costume, but he's Robert Englund at the time. And when the moment they say, all right, you know, get in the character, like you see it, like the switch. Yeah, he's Freddy now. Yeah, he's Freddy, perfect role for him, man.
Perfect role. Kind of like, yeah, how we like see Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark when we close our eyes. Exactly the same feel. But for me, I kind of wanted like a prequel to Nightmare on Elm Street, because I feel like Nightmare on Elm Street was the epitome of like just the gore, the amount of weaponry that he had in this movie, from the claws. They show you all the, he had pyrokinetic, he had teleportation. Like, bro, like, this motherfucker was unstoppable.
Yeah.
And there was just the amount of killing techniques that he used on people. Like, it was crazy. But for me, I wanted to see like a prequel to Nightmare on Elm Street. And I honestly love Robert Englund, so I wouldn't even mind having him play that role.
Or at least, like, I don't know, like, obviously right now he can't do that.
I mean, they had the CGI.
Oh, yeah.
They did it with Robert De Niro, bro. They see the CGI, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe they could do it.
Or, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, with the prosthetics, you probably wouldn't be able to tell that much. I feel like even the sagginess would probably do.
Oh, no. Do some difference. I feel like they need to go in and he can be in the movie. In my opinion, like, this is your story, but I feel like I would rather see him in the movie. Maybe he play his dad.
Uh-huh.
Freddy Cooper's dad. Because obviously you know what happened to Freddy. He was abused by his father.
Yeah.
Robert Englund can easily play that role.
Especially now at his age. Like, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. That'd be like a perfect little circle right there.
I feel like I learned too much as
oh no
as
I feel ever. You man like but, it's just a little too late for him to play Freddy no more.
Yeah, I mean he can play his dad and himself, because you know a lot of times the dad and, I mean the son ends up looking like his dad a lot sometimes, so it's not really too far out that they can
you say he can play his son house. And his dad
go big mama house on us. He's gonna go big
nah,
mama
I mean,
house.
I, bro, they can do anything with CGI nowadays, but
I don't I know they can't be. You can tell
it's Robert De Niro.
Who was Robert? Robert De Niro.
I think it's a mob or something. I don't know. They did like a Netflix video where they kind of CGI'd him to be like younger or something.
Well, here's the thing. Whether they did it or not, how did it look?
Even in what is it called? Didn't we just see
even Captain Marvel did it, and the Marvels did it. They de-aged Samuel L. But you can tell. Mm-hmm. That's my point. It looks good. Don't get me wrong.
But you can tell.
Why do that? We just cast somebody else.
Yeah.
Just cast somebody else. It's gonna save you some money.
To be fair, that will be going to hit their route though. That will be going. The Hollywood route. So if anything, out of all our movies, Mose would probably get picked because he seems the most Hollywood-ish.
Dang, I ain't be my boy like that. I'm going to need you to not put my boy in that category, sir. Nah.
Sending me out to Hollywood.
Nah, I feel like he would go with the most like, all right, CG versus getting the actual actor. This don't even seem like a question to me.
Like they can obviously put that. They should obviously pay homage to him if they do a prequel. For sure, they do pretty good. They gotta, you know.
He'll be in the movie, 100%.
They gotta give him his flowers. It's something.
Yeah, but for him to play the Freddy, no, I think it's too late. I really I do. Gotta, I mean, yeah. I just think it's too late. I mean, if you want to find somebody that look like him to play a younger him, great.
Man, the only thing I think about is what's his name, Skarsgård? Maybe him.
We need a break with the Skarsgårds.
Come on.
Yeah, I love the Skarsgård family. I know it's going. I'm not
they
hating on
that.
But I need y'all to cut this out. I'm cool,
he
man.
You can't do all the horror of it.
We can't always do like we need to pull a movie. Let's get one of the Skarsgård brothers. Nah. I'm good.
Man. Give me one of them cockeyed boys. No, I'm playing.
Yeah, get somebody else, man. Like, just get somebody else time to shine, man. Because like I say, these lesser known people are actually showing out now. Like, but nobody giving a chance. They're just casting who people know. So
well, actually, like old boy that did the Crow, I think he probably would have done. I think maybe he would have looked good as Freddy Krueger.
That's what he said.
That's what he says.
Yeah,
bro. One of them. I mean,
one of them.
That's real.
I would say Timothy Chalamet, but I don't know.
Oh, no.
That's scary.
Oh no!
Come on, bro.
Sir.
He's
in the Dune.
He'd be young. He looks someone that could be abused.
In sync, Freddy Krueger. No,
he's still pretty young.
What is this? The Gap Freddy Krueger. Who is this dude?
Y'all hitting my boy, but you know he got range.
I don't know. Yeah,
That was all Zendaya, bro. That was all Zendaya.
Timmy cool, but he can't be Freddy, bro.
Did you see Willy Wonka?
Unfortunately, yes, I did. Yeah, it took me three attempts to finish that movie, but
Well, yeah. I mean,
I didn't get past the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, first attempt, you tapped out. Hey, I ain't even mad at you, bro. Yeah.
I would say let's move past the actors then. But so, what would the story be though, or what would you want to see in the prequel then?
Yeah, so like in the, I kind of wanted to see like Freddy Krueger before he gets his powers, you know, because he gets burned and he gets like almost cremated alive and shit. So that shit was pretty. I would want to see like, you know, how he gets his powers, you know, and like does he try and patch himself up? Is he trying to like put like healing ointments on himself, or like how does he get the scars? Like all that shit, you know what I'm saying? And then kind of like show how he goes into Elm Street. How does he get in? Like where, how did that even happen? Where did you know? Where did he find somebody or did he follow somebody there?
He could have just grew up in an area.
Yeah,
yeah. He could have just grew up in that. Yeah.
So like, if I could, I would try to base this off of like the maybe 1970s, like old school. You know what I mean? Because I'm a big fan of like that era.
Yeah.
You know I mean, it's like one of the eras I wish I was born in. You know, just the whole hippie era.
Mm.
You know what I mean, and it just feels like it was more like, more chances to be scared back then, just because it was, you know, less phones, no technology. So if you're like literally stranded in the middle of nowhere, you're stuck. You know what I mean? You can't call nobody. So I don't want to see something like that where, you know, kind of explain his powers and stuff and explain where he got, you know, all these, because he has like a lot of powers where it's just like, if you don't read the comics, you're not gonna understand where the fuck is he doing all this stuff. He has the ability to what does he have? He ends up like, I think he's like casually reality warped, or does like, what's he doing?
Warps reality?
Yeah, no, he casually does reality warps. Like he'd just be like warping through like different realities and stuff. So it's just like, you know, he'll be in this reality and then he'll go to another reality.
This is something you see within all the movies. He does that so many times.
Yeah. I just always wanted to interested in that, like how he got those powers.
Did you note any of the what abilities did you note? And then we can kind of go over the ones that we haven't seen yet, because obviously we've seen him warp, like, you know, the world to his life.
Well, if you think about it, bro, like dream, he's in the dream. Like in a dream, you can do whatever you want.
That's essentially what it is.
Yeah. So your powers are, in a sense, limitless.
Yeah, he is like the mask, but in the dream world.
If you're telling me that my imagination is my limitation.
Yeah.
What that mean?
Because like some of his abilities were like if you get burned in the dream, you get burned in real life. So it's like, what the, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really like power. It's just the thing that happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But I mean, he has a...
And he's choosing to kill you a certain way. Like, if anything, he can just kind of get a gun, bump, you're done. But he's playing with you.
Yeah, he's having
fun. He plays with his food because he's over. He wants to see you scared. Right, he wants to see you scrambling and scraping for shit. Like he did. He's trying to scare the shit out of you before he kills you. So it's dude was just psycho. You know what I mean? That's why I feel like that Rick and Morty did really good when they did that Scary Terry. You know what I mean? Because even from that line, you know what I mean? Where's my sandwich, bitch? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like, they kind of teased the origin a little bit in the remake.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they kind of give you a little bit. But to say I didn't want to see more of that would be a lie, because, like I said, just at least start him off in high school. Just see him like in, or even middle school, just start him off there and see, you know, see how nice he was, see the gradual decline to, you know.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, a lot of people don't want to admit this, but and it's not really stated, but it seems like he's a pedo. I know it's not a friendly word.
Yeah.
Hope we don't get like, you know, don't say that word.
He always goes for the female.
It's seen, not even that. He don't have no preference. Like, he just. It seems like he in there, because even in the last remake, they alluded to that too. But we already thought it. Even I thought it. That he's in there like young. You know.
Yeah.
So we can kind of go there. I mean, it'll be like a little risque story.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, it's fitting to this
character.
If
you think about it, like in reality, like these dudes aren't monsters. That's what they are. They're monsters. Yeah. I mean, bro, even in Silent Hill, there was like, you know, like young kids and everything and she, you know, whatever. And even in, I'm assuming Hellraiser, like they don't, I don't know if they care who they.
They haven't went there yet, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't care.
But like, if you think about like the reality of if that existed in real life, you think they really care about the Ace Limit? Not really. So are we saying something that's not, could not, or would not happen? Not really.
Yeah. So. Just they got to be willing to, you know, take a little flack for, you know, choosing to do it, certain things. But I mean, come on, man. Like, just take some risks. Worst could happen, they'll say, oh, you shouldn't have did that. Smack you on the hand.
Right.
That was bad of you to do such thing. Okay.
Well, I feel like Freddie pushed the bounds a lot. Like, when he, I always think about that scene where he gets stabbed and he fucking lifts off his shirt and he's like, souls of the children, give me energy. And fucking, you see this, oh, like, goddamn. Like, what the, or when he turns his fingers into the injections.
Yeah.
Like addict or whatever. And
yeah. The
pores opening up. Like, damn. Like,
well, speaking of that, since you're talking highly of your Freddy Krueger, let's go to the next thing I'm going to show where we compare. Now, I'm going to start off because I just want to say I have a little synapse as far as her power range. And then y'all tell me. After come what I say, okay.
Come on.
So here, this is now. I didn't say this in the beginning because I wanted to save this little bit towards the end. So if I say this and that gives you kind of some insight at the beginning, whatever. Alessa, who was the chosen one, was born out of wedlock to Dahlia Lepsy, who later on is the mom, and you know, you kind of see her kind of like wandering around, and was cast out by the townspeople, who believed she was sin incarnate. So Alessa was gifted with witch-like powers. I'm not sure what that means, but which she uses to telepathically break a metal chain, wilt flowers, create an alternate reality, and give life to two doppelgangers of herself. Pretty much saying she's immortal in a way, because some, you know, she can always kind of like, oh, I'll create somebody, I can move, put him on my body. But just the fact that she can create
an
alternate, that line alone, I mean, she lives in her own world pretty much. But how do you kill someone in their own world?
That's true.
It's kind of like, even like Ruben said, like, I mean, Ryan said, the Centipites, they live in their own little world. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
I don't know if you know what the Centipites are. I wrote it down. The Centipites are just servants of hell. I mean, it's like.
So the scenario is. Versus, well, I don't want to get in the scenario yet, but go ahead, Mo. Give me all the Freddy Krueger powers.
Yeah. So I'm basing my Freddy Krueger off of a comic that was called The Nightmare Warriors. And in this comic, fucking Freddy Krueger, he absorbs the Necromantic, or what is it? Necromantica?
Mm-hmm.
You know how to say it, Ryan? Necromantica?
Oh,
and it's just literally, it's fun. It's crazy because it's like, it's a, after he gains this power, he ends up having like Jason as a slave for a little while. Like, he has the power to fucking command this food.
Wait, Necro, like controlling the dead?
Yeah.
It would make sense.
Jason is dead.
Yeah.
He even has that power in the movies.
Necromancer?
Mm-hmm. He even has that power in the movie. Remember, he raises the skeleton dude to kill the old boy?
Mm-hmm. But, no. I think that was him.
No,
wasn't that him?
I think that was him. Yeah.
Before he like regenerated.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was him. I it's been a while since I've seen that movie. I'm not sure. I think that's part four. Or is it four or five?
When he was the fourth one.
Yeah.
I'll touch base on that later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he has like he has dream manipulation. He can casually warp, or he casually like reality warp. He has the power of death, and then he can also warp reality. He ends up, in the end, he ends up getting like defeated and stuff, but like, he's pretty much like immortal. So he knew that he survives, you know what I mean? So he's going to come back.
Yeah.
But in my research that I did, is that they actually do put him up against Hellraiser. And in my research,
against Pinhead?
Because they were going based off of Prime. Pinhead, which is when he turns into a human after being a Centibite, and then he does like a ritual where he ends up being like even more powerful, and then he becomes merged ritual Pinhead, which is like crazy. And then he ends up, the only reason why he loses is because he goes up against Leviathan.
And there's no way.
Like Leviathan is the one that created Elliot Spencer, so he's like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
damn,
bro.
You can't beat, somebody that strong,
Go ahead, right? So then.
So what, in my research, it's just in the end, it's gonna be Pinhead versus Alyssa. You know what I'm saying?
Really? You think? You think?
Yeah, I think so.
That's fair. I mean,
what does that mean? Because
look,
the only way you're gonna access her is to come into her own reality, but she can her own reality is like, I don't know, like how do you pull her out? Can Pinhead do something like that?
Pinhead cannot. I mean, even the ultimate form, I don't think he has that ability. Mm-hmm. I don't think he
does. Create like another reality?
No, I definitely don't think he's that powerful. So, I mean, even if
at the same time, it's like, okay, like Dark Alyssa, it's not just the reality, but it's the fact that she can create beings in that reality. So she obviously has Pyramid Head, all these goons and whatever. So whatever she can create can come to life. But then, can anything that she can create go up against Pinhead?
Well, y'all keep saying Pinhead. Y'all forget that. You're right, but you got to forget he don't travel by himself, and there's millions of Cenobites, bro. Literally millions.
To the point where I think after he turns into a human and he does the merge ritual, in order for him to turn into a human, he has to have somebody else be Pinhead. You know what I mean? To take over the job. There's never not going to be a Pinhead. You know what I mean?
There's going to be like an overseer of the overseer of the Cenobite army. You know what I mean? But like I was saying, like even if say Alyssa, she does right. Let's say in this hypothetical battle, she was able to defeat all the Cenobites. How's she going to beat beings that are equal to God and the devil, bro? How?
Mm-hmm.
Like if she may have witch like powers. She's not a god like creature though. Like she just has those abilities. But how you gonna kill a Leviathan? What would she do? Like even if she can make her own world, she can't kill. There's no way.
If anything, it seems like the Leviathan is kind of beats all three of us.
If it really wanted to, yeah. Like I'm saying, like there's no way. Like she can get past that. She can handle the Cenobites. But something as powerful as, and actually, that's not even the most powerful being, the Leviathan. There's somebody over him.
He's the second.
He's number two. So, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not gonna argue this too much.
No, don't get mad because you go take this L.
He was confident. He was confident.
Let me wait till I tell you.
Wes Hansen is gonna change all this.
Now all of a sudden, we ain't gotta go that far to it. It's okay.
They gotta run this up. All right. Well, it looks like the winner outcome. I would say maybe, okay, so it'd be Hellraiser. Maybe Alyssa second. And Freddy third. Would be in that order. Now, here's a little follow up question. If you had to choose from the three, which world would you all want to be in? If we were each three sentences to death and they said pick which world would y'all want to die in?
I'm going to Silent Hill, bro.
Nah, bro. I'm going Hellraiser. Wait.
You haven't seen the movie.
Obviously, you haven't seen those movies, sir.
Nah, maybe Freddy, bro, because he's kind of quick with it.
You can't sleep. Wherever you at, you ain't gonna be able to sleep.
It don't matter, bro. I'm gonna die regardless. So at least maybe he'll do
it. You got a chance to at least like evade some death, or and then get a nap in and try to fight for survival. But in the other two scenarios, no.
I would rather take Freddy then instead. I think Freddy would. I mean, it might take a while, but I'll die eventually.
Damn, I'll probably go to Ryan's. I'll just go to Silent Hill and just jump.
I'm going to Silent Hill and try to fight through it, bro. Like,
how?
Old girl did it. Old girl.
They got video games based off of them surviving Silent Hill. But there's ways to do it. But like, how would you survive the Cenobite? Running
around the church.
I'm everywhere, brother. Because I'm gonna find my supplies, just like in a video game. I'm gonna find me a gun, a pipe, whatever I need, a radio. Because they got a radio, so you can hear when they're getting close. They got all that stuff. I'll find it all. Okay. You got a better chance.
Okay. Because that's exactly what they showed in Silent Hill the movie. That's in the game. Yeah. Okay. But I'm telling you, that's something else. Silent Hill the movie, not the game. Hey, we see Pyramid Head walking towards your ass.
I'm gonna do my best, brother. Because if you coming towards me, I just
grab your black ass.
You
know.
You got to catch me first. As you can see, Pinhead ain't that fast. Or Pinhead, Pyramid Head can't move that fast. He's huge. Nice.
But his little termites or whatever he got.
Oh, I killed him. I got my pipe. I smashed him. Do what I can. I feel like I'll survive longer. Because let's be honest, we're going to die.
We're going to die. We're all going to die. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I feel this, you have a better chance of surviving longer in Silent Hill versus you getting attacked by Cenobites and then they torturing you when they do catch you. They're not just going to kill you, bro. That's not what they do. They don't get you and then kill you. No, 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 no. That's too easy. They want you to feel the ultimate pleasure. But
I was going
to
say, in Freddy, what if you can kind of dream some shit? Because what if you start being lucid in your dreams? Well, okay, hold on. Maybe I can do some things. Might be able to surprise him. Yeah.
But look what happens to them. They do, but at the end of the day, you're not a being.
Like I said, we're all going to die.
Exactly.
The point is, we're all going to die.
Essentially, it's where do you want to die? And I want to die in Silent Hill.
I choose Freddy.
So two Silent Hills, one Freddy. Hey, that's fair. Yeah. Let's be honest. Don't nobody want to face a Cenobite. Let's keep it a buck. Don't nobody want these problems, man.
Sodomize and
I'm good, man. They just peel your skin off, put it back on you, and peel it again.
I'm going to heal you up, and I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the TVMP. Don't forget to follow us and subscribe. Hit the like button. Send us a comment. Anything, everything and anything is much appreciated. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the listen. Thank you for bending the ear. This is your host, Mo, signing out.
This is Rue.
And this is Ryan.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.